WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday, April 24, 2017. We're so honored you allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. On today's Current Sports, we've got a busy, busy hour. A busy 60 minutes of sports talk, as customarily we do on Monday, seeing as though we are going to try our best to recap the entire sporting weekend here locally and beyond. On today's Current Sports, we will talk about Austin Robertson. Yes, now the ex-Michigan State football player who is now in police custody being accused of rape. That's right, Robertson, rape charges. And I tell you what, it took quite some time for police to figure out where Robertson exactly was, but they do have him in custody as he was arrested yesterday morning. So we'll chat about that story. Also, the Michigan football team in much lighter news. Michigan is out in Rome, Italy right now. How about that? A very cool spring break trip in which the Wolverines will practice three times at the end of the week. But I tell you what, if you've seen the sights and sounds of this U of M trip, you are much like me, because I am tremendously jealous. Very cool trip. We'll talk about the details of that trip for Jim Harbaugh's program. We will also invite to the show current sports intern and walk-on for the Michigan State baseball team, David Greenberg, will join us live here in Studio S to give us a recap of the weekend for the Michigan State baseball team. And continuing the baseball talk, we will briefly chat about the Detroit Tigers' wild weekend, taking 2 of 3 from the Minnesota Twins. What a scary moment it was for Jacoby Jones, who took a 90-mile-per-hour pitch, a fastball straight to the jaw, yo. I kid you not. Scary moment there that led to a bench-clearing brawl. And to close out the show, we will have weekend winners for you. If you want to be a part of our show, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I will read it live here on our airwaves, or you can even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with that news concerning now former Michigan State University football player, defensive end Austin Robertson. He is now in police custody on charges of rape. Yeah, concerning a young woman in her apartment. This is according to Meridian Township Police. Robertson faces a charge of third-degree criminal sexual conduct, misconduct, I should say. Robertson faces up to 15 years in prison if convicted. He has not yet been arraigned in 55th District Court, according to online records, but his bond has been set at $75,000. MSU head football coach Mark D'Antonio, in a statement released Friday afternoon by the university, said that Robertson has since been dismissed from the program. A university spokesman said that he remains a student. We will have more on that story in just a moment. Moving on, the Michigan Wolverines football team, led by head coach Jim Harbaugh. The team is in Rome, Italy, for 8 days to visit the Vatican, hit the Colosseum, hit the Opera House, meet the Pope. And yeah, they'll be practicing three times at the end of the week. I don't know if you guys have been following this coverage, but the team actually has an ESPN film crew following the team throughout this eight-day trip. There are numerous local beat reporters who are also on the trip providing coverage. We will talk about that trip in just a moment. A very good look for the Wolverines gridiron program. Four-star QB recruit Dorian Thompson Robinson. Yeah, he committed to UCLA over Michigan. That happened last night. While Bruins fans should be ecstatic, the Wolverines failed to land a recruit that would have plugged one of their biggest holes in 2018. Nonetheless, the Wolverines, when you look at that roster from top to bottom, even though there's a ton of turnover, there's still a lot of talent for Harbaugh and company. All right, Mel Pearson has been named the new head hockey coach in Ann Arbor for the Michigan Wolverines, replacing the great Red Berenson, who announced his retirement earlier this month after 33 years in a pair of national championships. Pearson was an assistant under Berenson for 23 years, playing a big part in 11 Frozen Four appearances and national championship runs in 1996 and 98. He left after the Wolverines lost to Minnesota Duluth in the 2011 national title game, taking over the head coaching job at Michigan Tech, where he played in college. The Michigan State basketball staff showed it has serious interest in the 2019 in-state combo guard Mark Watts Jr. as Tom Izzo brought assistants Mike Garland and Dwayne Stevens to go see him earlier this week. I should say last week. Now, on Sunday, Watts announced that he had received a scholarship offer from Tom Izzo. The six-foot guard tweeted, quote, "Blessed to say, I have received an offer from Michigan State. Hashtag go green." From Detroit, Watts was named second team All-Area by the Detroit News and has an offer from Detroit Mercy waiting as well. Big news here. Caught this news yesterday afternoon. The Michigan State women's golf team captured the 2017 Big Ten Championship in a comeback fashion on Sunday at TPC Rivers Bend in Mainville, Ohio. The Spartans entered the final round 8 strokes in back of Northwestern. But get this. The Spartans ended up winning the tournament by 2 shots after a third round best 3 under par, 285 on Sunday. The Spartans finished the tournament 2 over par, 866, while Northwestern ended at 4 over par, 868. The title, which gives Michigan State the conference's automatic bid to the NCAA tourney, is the Spartans' 4th in the last 7 years and 6th under head coach Stacy Slobotnik-Stoll. The Spartans placed 3 golfers in the top 5, led by Sarah Burnham, who was the runner-up. Burnham, who fired a school and Big Ten championships record 9 under par 63 on Saturday. She entered the tournament 5 under par, shooting a 211. Impressive stuff. After Michigan State's first baseball game of the weekend was rained out on Saturday as a result, MSU was forced to play a doubleheader on Sunday against the Maryland Terrapins. The Spartans lost the first game 2-1 and then dropped the second game 6-2. With the pair of losses, the Spartans are now 20-16 overall and 5-7 in the Big Ten. Michigan State softball also dropped a game this weekend. Yesterday, they lost to Ohio State 6-2, despite an early lead, thanks to Kelsey Carrasco's 2 RBIs. The Detroit Tigers ended their 9-game road trip on a high note, blowing out the Minnesota Twins 13-4. Yes, 13-4 at Target Field on Sunday. The Tigers benefited from a pair of crucial Twins errors, and 4 of their 13 runs were scored as unearned. Now, Michael Fulmer, last year's Roy, earned his second win of the year with a stellar 7-inning performance. Starting the series on Friday, Eddie Rosario hit a tie-breaking 3-run homer in the bottom of the 6th, and the Twins defeated the Tigers 6-3 on Friday at Target Field. Then on Saturday, Nicholas Castellanos belted his 3rd homer of the season as the Tigers outlasted the Twins 5-4 in a long, mistake-filled afternoon game that included a benches-clearing altercation, which began due to Jacoby Jones taking a 90-mile-per-hour pitch to his jaw. Yeah, at 10-8, the Tigers still sit atop, I should say, the division. How about that? All right. The NBA and NHL playoffs continued this weekend, and here is where all of the series currently stand. In the Eastern Conference of the NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers finished their sweep at the Indiana Pacers in Game 4, winning 106-102. They await the winner of the Raptors and Bucks series. The Raptors tied up the series at 2 games apiece by defeating the Bucks on the road Saturday, 87-76. Game 5 is tonight in Toronto, 7 p.m. Meanwhile, the Chicago Bulls could not take advantage of capturing home court advantage in their series against the Boston Celtics. The top-seeded Celts have won the last 2 games in the Chi and have tied the series at 2-all, including their 104-95 dub yesterday. The Atlanta Hawks won their first game of the series at home in Game 3, 116-98, and take on the Wizards again tonight at 8 p.m. Washington leads that series 2-1 in the Western Conference playoff series. Those are still up in the air. The Houston Rockets defeated the Oklahoma City Thunder 113-109 on the road to take a 3-1 series yesterday. And the Golden State Warriors beat the Portland Trailblazers Saturday 119-113 to take a 3-0 lead in that series, which continues tonight in Portland at 10:30 p.m. The wildest finish of the NBA playoffs so far, surprisingly enough, was between the San Antonio Spurs and the Memphis Grizzlies on Saturday night. The Grizz won an overtime thriller 110-108 the final. Mark Gasol, Mike Conley, they were great down the stretch of that game. That series is evened up at 2 games apiece. And finally, the L.A. Clippers and the Utah Jazz played Game 4 last night in Salt Lake City, where the Utah Jazz won 105-98, thanks to the return of Rudy Gobert, I should say, and Joe Johnson stepping up once again. That series is also tied up. The NHL playoffs have also been wild and continued over the weekend. In the Eastern Conference, the New York Rangers closed out their series against the Montreal Canadiens in 6 games with a 3-1 dub on Saturday. They will take on the Ottawa Senators, who defeated the Boston Bruins 3-2 in OT yesterday and finished the series in 6 games as well. The Washington Caps defeated the Toronto Maple Leafs last night in dramatic fashion. It took overtime, but the Caps got the 2-1 dub to close out the 6-game series and now look forward to facing off against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Ovechkin versus Crosby. That should be fun, right? The Penguins defeated the Columbus Blue Jackets in 5 games last Thursday. In the Western Conference, the St. Louis Blues defeated the Minnesota Wild 4-3 in OT on Saturday to win that series in 5 games. They will surprisingly face the Nashville Predators. That's what makes the NHL playoffs so great, White. So wide open come playoff time. Not like the NBA playoffs, but still not complaining about the NBA playoffs. All right, again, they will surprisingly face the Predators, who swept the top-seeded Chicago Blackhawks. That was surprising. The Blackhawks became the first top-seeded team in professional sports history to get swept in the first round. The Anaheim Ducks swept the Calgary Flames and have been waiting for their opponent since last Wednesday. On Saturday, the Edmonton Oilers became the Ducks' second-round opponent. They defeated the San Jose Sharks 3-1 in Game 6 to win the series 4-2. The first round of the NHL playoffs featured a league-record 18, count them, 18 overtime games. That is a hockey fan's heaven right there. And the second round begins 2 days from now. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/currentsports, where we are currently live streaming the show, and tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, at WKAR underscore sports. Let's start the show.
Try to split us up. We all one team. We're gonna. If I go to the bench, if Steven's on the floor, if I'm off the floor, we in this together. Don't split us up. Don't try to split us up. Don't try to make us go against each other. Try to make against Russell and the rest of the guys. Russell against Houston. I don't want to hear that. We in this together. We playing as a team, and that's all that matters. That's it.
Yeah, Russell. I'm not trying to split you up, but twice in 3 games, You guys have not played well at all when you've gone to the bench.
That's fine. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. Russell, you ain't played well at all. Say Russell and the team haven't played well. Don't say when Russell goes out, the team don't play well. It don't matter. We in this together.
That may be, Russell, but I asked Steven a question. And well, it's a legitimate
question. Next question.
It's a legitimate question.
Next question. Next question.
What?
Next question.
No, I think we'll keep the microphone. I had a question for Steven, and it wasn't answered. And I don't understand. If Steven wants to say, he still hadn't said anything. If he wants to say, I don't want to answer that, fine.
Next question, please.
Isaiah Thomas is a hell of a player, an unbelievable competitor. He's a warrior. Everything he's going through right now. He had a hell of a game tonight. But when you're allowed to discontinue your dribble on every possession, he is impossible to guard. He's impossible to guard. When you're able to put your hand underneath the ball and take two or three steps and put it back down, it's impossible to guard him in those situations.
I mean, that's not the reason why I'm an impossible cover, but I mean, it is what it is. It's not that funny. But I don't know. I mean, I guess he's gonna just keep saying it, but I mean, I've been dribbling that way my whole life, so. I don't know what to say to that.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Happy Monday. Is it a beautiful one outside or what? Oh, my goodness. I really hope you're listening to us. If you are in the car, hope you got the top down, wind blowing in your hair, or if you're at the park, for those of you who have Monday off, of course. Many of you are probably listening at work. Shh, don't tell anybody. We appreciate you tuning in, though, on this beautiful day in mid-Michigan. 70 degrees, sun is out, grass is green, birds chirping. Oh, it was a great day yesterday as well. Actually, my entire body is in pain right now, seeing as though the battlefield brawl, yeah, that took place yesterday. Of course, we had Todd, formerly known as TJ, Duckett on the show Friday afternoon to talk about the 8th annual battlefield brawl, a local charity flag football game, which raises money for numerous charities. Of course, Todd always involved in philanthropic work. This was my third straight year playing in it. Had a fantastic time. Fantastic time, folks. And, you know, it's crazy because, you know, it's so cool because you get a chance to play with former Michigan State athletes, some of which have gone on to play professional sports, and I looked around and saw many familiar faces. Actually, our former Current Sports production assistant, Darian Harris, actually suited up. He'll be playing in the CFL, the Canadian Football League, starting next month. He played a game yesterday. Greg Jones, former MSU football player as well, he was on the field. I'm trying to think who else is there playing, at least. Todd played. Todd was there. Devin Thompson, who was probably the MVP of the entire tournament. He was fantastic. I had no idea how good of an athlete he was dating back to his playing days. I tell you what, he still has it, folks. Dude can still ball. Dude can still ball. And you know what? Even, you know, as I looked around at some of the faces that were there, Mateen Cleaves was even there, folks. And we all know what's going on with Mateen and, again, the unfortunate accusation that he allegedly sexually assaulted a woman at a motel. So I was very shocked to see Mateen's face there. But again, he's not going into hiding. That case has just been reinstated. And, you know, it's an interesting time for Michigan State sports. And as we have been profiling throughout the past few weeks here on our airwaves, Friday was such a busy day. Such a busy day. Here at Current Sports, seeing as though Austin Robertson officially charged with rape concerning a young woman after a party he and this young woman attended. Friday, head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mark D'Antonio, released a statement via the university and sort of went through the timeline. In the first graph, announcing that Austin Robertson was no longer a member of the football program. But he sort of went through how the university went about trying to give Robertson help. Because, again, this has been a troubled young man for quite some time. And, you know, we documented on Friday's show how you look at the paper trail leading up to this moment, right, for Robertson. You can date back to high school in which he was accused of inappropriately touching a female student. Got in trouble for that. Had to go through a diversionary program, complete that, and then it was wiped off of his record. But he that isn't alone. I mean, Mark D'Antonio still gave this young man a second chance, right? And again, I'm all about second chances, right? But when you hear this story concerning Robertson, you can look at that moment and say, you know what? Okay, maybe this dude wasn't fully changed after that moment. Again, this is all alleged, but and you look at the details, because as Friday went along, you started to see the exact details of what this young woman is alleging happened here. Again, just to read the report here, and again, this is coming from the Detroit Free Press, and Meridian Township Police Detective Rebecca Payne, she testified during a hearing Friday morning detailing what allegedly happened on April 8th. So I'm just going to go through the details here, and again, you can draw your own conclusions. Again, this young man has not been found guilty here. So, again, he has to go through the legal process here. And, by the way, it took some time in order for Robertson to get into police custody because they were looking for him Friday, I believe, couldn't find him. They were looking for him on Saturday, and they were asking the public for any tips as to where Robertson could be. And then on Sunday morning is when Robertson was released into police custody. But again, this is according to, this is coming from the Detroit Free Press. Meridian Township Police Detective, again, Rebecca Payne, testified during a hearing on Friday morning. And, you know, the Detective Payne kind of goes through what took place. She testified that Robertson and the woman who is claiming that Robertson sexually assaulted her or raped her. She said that Robertson and a woman who said she knew Robertson, they ran into each other at a party in East Lansing. And the incident was reported to the police the following day. The woman said that after leaving the party where she had been drinking, she, Robertson, and another acquaintance, they decided to go get some food. Robertson called his girlfriend to pick the three of them up. And then Robertson's girlfriend drove them to the woman's apartment. When the car arrived at where the woman lived, Robertson said that he was, quote, going to walk the victim to the apartment and make sure she gets there safely, end quote. Again, it's a direct quote from the testification from police detective Rebecca Payne. Once inside the apartment, Robertson assaulted the woman and, quote, refused to stop and continued to forcefully have sex with the woman. Robertson, quote, abruptly stopped and advised the victim that she can't tell anybody about this incident. Again, this is what allegedly happened, according to, again, police detective Rebecca Payne, in speaking to the alleged victim of the Austin Robertson rape charges. Troubling stuff, I must say. And There's so many. I feel like now, Isaac, we are beating a dead horse, you know, because we talked about what is taking place with this football program when it comes to this incident. Also, the separate investigation concerning three still unnamed Michigan State football players and a staff member. And, you know, you look at this whole thing that's taking place, and it doesn't matter where you turn. It's impossible to get away from this story. And, you know, I look at the fact that, you know, Robertson, they couldn't find the dude on Friday. They didn't know where he was. On Saturday, they didn't know where he was. And I think that maybe, you know, a young man like Robertson, when something like this happens and his name is everywhere and it's out there in the public and there, and you know, he's constantly being, of course, judged in the public eye now, right? After the alleged details that have come out, probably panic. You know, he went home to Indiana, right? That's what they're saying. And probably got a bit spooked, wanted to be close to family members, and then turned himself in on Sunday morning. And then I saw, which is even crazier here. And I just kind of went through, as I normally do each and every morning, just kind of went through the sports headlines of the day. And again, we tried to tackle this issue on last week's Current Sports. You know, the issue of current and former football players being involved with some sort of violence when it comes to women. And I saw a story today that actually Georgia has released Deontay Demiri from his national letter of intent following charges of domestic violence. That's according to Coach Kirby Smart. He announced that actually on Sunday. Now, Demiri, an offensive lineman from Brunswick, Georgia, was charged with misdemeanor simple battery and criminal trespass for allegedly choking and shoving his girlfriend, who was also the mother of his one-month-old child. He was arrested by Athens Clark County Police around 9:30 p.m. on Saturday and transferred to jail, where he was released on a $1,500 bond on Sunday afternoon. Another incident where you have a football player involved with some sort of violence with a member of the opposite sex. Not only that, this all happened this morning, folks. As I'm going through my headliners, I see another story involving a football player and violent interactions with a woman. Get this, Isaac. I saw former Florida defensive tackle Caleb Brantley in the news, who is considered a potential first or second round pick in this week's NFL draft. Caleb was charged on Friday with misdemeanor simple battery after he allegedly struck a woman and knocked her unconscious during a dispute earlier this month. According to a sworn complaint, this is a complaint obtained by ESPN from the Alachua County Clerk of Court in Gainesville, Florida, a woman told police that the 6'2", 307-pound Brantley made crude comments toward her during an argument at a bar on April 13th, and then she pushed him. The complaint said Brantley responded by striking her in the face and knocking her unconscious. Two incidences. Also in relation to, again, this topic of violence toward women, two more football players in the news allegedly involved in violent interactions, just like what is being charged with Mr. Austin Robertson. I just want to pose this to you. When you hear about these stories, two of which are coming out and breaking in the last few days, what is your initial reaction when trying to draw the dots and conclusions as to football players and relations with women, violent interactions with women, Isaac? Is there something that can be drawn here?
There's obviously a link for me. I mean, it just is as simple. And I brought this up on Friday's show when the Austin Robertson case first broke. There are these senses of entitlement for football players. And it's because of the media attention they get, for one. It's because of the fan adoration for another. There's also this misperception and misguidance in terms of what football does for you as a leader. There are some positions out there on the field where it really elevates the amount of enrichment you can get from classroom activities, group projects, all that stuff. As a quarterback, you're leading your team, all that good stuff. But then you take it to the linebacker, you take it to the D tackle, you take it to the defensive end, whatever it is. And you know what they tell you if you get in a bar fight? They tell you, hey, channel that aggression onto the field. Channel that aggression onto the field. Instead of cut it out, instead of we're suspending you, it really becomes a, oh, this is somebody who's really got a lot of potential as a football player. Look at all the football players, and this is really across sports in many ways, but football players a lot of times come from troubled backgrounds, and that's not their fault, but in many ways they're exploited because those troubled backgrounds are turned into a source of aggression, of anger, and somebody thinks that, oh, this guy, if we can get him riled up, angry enough, he'll be a great hitter. He'll knock some guy's helmet off and cause a fumble and win his team the game, etc. We fail to contextualize this and see how much it translates off the field. Now, is this every football player? Heck no. Is this a majority of football players? Not close whatsoever. But at the same time, this is a systemic problem in the game of football. It's a long time we address it, and it's about time that football really makes a conscious effort. None of these four-game suspensions for domestic violence. None of these temporary, we're going to investigate. It's as simple as if a football player hits somebody off the field, that is without a doubt a lingering symptom of what they've learned on the field. That's been inculcated into them from an early age.
Right.
There's definitely a link.
And I tell you what, you know, you look at the situation when it comes to Austin Robertson, and left and right, again, you're hearing the criticism about the program, and, you know, and I even heard an interesting debate this morning. On a radio show I won't name, but they were debating, you know, and they were posing the question to Michigan State football fans, what's more important to them? And I thought it was, to be honest with you, I thought it was a ridiculous question, to be honest with you, Isaac. The question basically was, what do Spartan fans care more about? Do you care more about wins, or do you care more about limiting or eradicating off-the-field problems? I think that's a no-brainer.
It's insulting to the victims.
That's a no-brainer, right? I mean, come on. I couldn't believe that was even a debate. But, you know, it's amazing to me, and I think that goes back to the word entitled, right? You know, the winning cures everything. We're willing to look past, you know, what you're doing away from the field or what troubles you may have if you go out there and perform, and that's the wrong thing. That's the wrong dialogue that you hear far too often when it comes to athletes of any kind, let alone athletes that ball out for a Division I college football program. And you evaluate the timeline of events here for Robertson. Mark D'Antonio gave this kid a second chance. I'm not faulting Mark D'Antonio for doing that. I believe that a lot of these kids, and again, as you noted, Isaac, when you evaluate a lot of the backgrounds that they come from, a lot of these kids make stupid mistakes. If that kid shows signs and is convincing in that he's willing to get help and he's willing to work on himself and make changes, I don't see anything wrong with giving him a second chance. But sometimes second chances just don't pan out. We've all been down that road. I've got homies of mine. I've got cousins of mine who says, oh, my bad, Al, I won't do it again. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They may loan him out some money and they just totally just whiff on it. And it's just like, what's going on, dude?
Yeah.
They say, Al, my bad, won't happen again. I've got a kind heart, and I give him a second chance, and what happens? It happens again, right? We've all been there, done that. So I can't blame Mark D'Antonio for giving this kid a second chance, but when it comes to the individual criticism that I have for this young man, I mean, this came 7 days after the spring game. You know, if you put that timeline just let that soak in, because if you put that in perspective, put that timeline in perspective, 7 days after the spring game, and we all know what the big storyline was about the spring game, right? It wasn't the game itself. It was the fact that Michigan State was already, the football program was already undergoing a sexual assault investigation involving three unnamed football players. So you would think that Mr. Robertson would look at what is currently taking place with three of his own teammates and say to himself, you know what? I'm not even going to put myself in that position. The dude clearly has a problem. The dude clearly has a problem. And you can't help but think about that January 2016 incident of misdemeanor battery, by the way, stemming from an October 2015 incident in high school in which he inappropriately touched a female classmate. Fulfilled the divisionary program, which was mandated by the court, actually. It actually had to be transferred from Indiana to Michigan. So that wasn't done by Michigan State University. However, Mark D'Antonio, his staff, and the school felt as though they needed to provide him with additional tools to make sure that this kid stays on the right track. Sometimes you just can't save everybody. And now that cloud is darkening a bit when it comes to this program. What are your thoughts on it? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll try and lighten the mood a bit on this sunny Monday. And we'll talk about the Michigan football trip out in Rome, Italy. How about that? And we will also invite live here to Studio S, David Greenberg, current sports intern and walk-on for the Michigan State baseball team. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, dedicated segment A to, of course, the story concerning ex-MSU football player Austin Robertson, who has been dismissed from the football program, hence the ex, and now is in police custody, pending rape charges. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I think also the big question I kept getting from the public on Sunday as I was out and about playing in the Battlefield Brawl from the community is, why in the world did this story progress so quickly to charges in relation and in comparison to the first investigation? So I can't answer that. I just can't. I don't know. I really have no answer as to why this case went to the prosecutor and was charged immediately, almost immediately, right? It seemed like that. While we are still waiting to see what the ruling is when it comes to that first investigation involving the three unnamed football players, I just don't know. Maybe that the evidence and the testimony was so in your face and there was clear-cut black and white evidence there that this thing needs to happen. You know, this charge needs to go down. Maybe there's still some foggy areas. There's still some gray areas when it comes to that first investigation. I have no idea. There's no timeline. You know, the prosecution can take, you know, all day as it has, and it's really taking its time when it comes to what the next steps are when it comes to that investigation. So I couldn't answer that question for you. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Want to make note of this on a much lighter note. And in many ways, this just makes this whole situation at Michigan State even more so stick out like a sore thumb, seeing as though right down the road in Ann Arbor, Michigan State's rival, the Michigan Wolverines college football program, they're living it up right now out in Rome, Italy, enjoying spring break, time where I'm looking up online right now, and I've read numerous articles this morning concerning the trip to Rome, and they are living it up. They actually, you know, when they went from the airport to Villa Borges Gardens, which get this, is a 200-acre park. That is a huge park, ladies and gents. They went from the airport straight to Villa Borges. And then they after a few hours just soaking that in, they met with 20 refugees from Africa and the Middle East. Wilton Spate, a really cool story on the Freep done by Jeff Seidel. It profiles Wilton Spate getting a chance to talk and meet and pick the brain of Muhammadu Sankarel, who is a refugee from Gambia. And they just had this really cool interaction in which they're talking about each other and trying to figure, you know, just really dive into each other's backgrounds and where they're from and their culture. Very cool stuff. And a lot of people ask, okay, why Rome? Well, Jim Harbaugh has a lot of ties when it comes, a lot of family ties, I should say, when it comes to that area. Jim Harbaugh's grandfather, Joe Sapiti, he was born in Sicily and moved to Italy as a child. Joe sadly passed away in 2014 at the age of 98. He lived a great life. He was also very close to, of course, Grandpa Joe. And Jim's mother, Jackie, has a ton of aunts and uncles that live in Italy. And this is really, really cool as well. Sam Mackey, Michigan defensive tackle from Dearborn, he was chosen by Jim Harbaugh to meet Pope Francis. That's unbelievably cool, first, at the Vatican. And what even makes the story even more intriguing is that Mackey is actually Muslim. Yeah. And he addressed the Pope as one of his heroes. And, you know, when they asked Mackey about this, you know, Mackey actually, you know, he made a statement that he loved when the Pope tweeted out unity addressing Muslims, Christians, and Catholics all as brothers. Also, offensive tackle Grant Newsom, was also chosen to meet Pope Francis. And, of course, in typical Jim Harbaugh fashion, you had to earn this incredible honor, right? So he had the entire team, those that wanted to meet Pope Francis, you had to submit an essay as to why you wanted to meet Pope Francis. And Mackey's, as well as Newsom's, those were the best essays, according to Jim Harbaugh. So how cool is that, though, Isaac? How cool is that? Get it, going to Rome, Italy with your team, and they are living it up right now. I saw they had a 30-minute video as they went on a tour of the city. Very cool stuff.
I'm wondering when the annual WKR trip to Rome is. I don't think
that's in the budget, brother.
but no, this is so cool. Like you said, what contrast between East Lansing and Ann Arbor right now. But Michigan, I saw another headline where Jim Harbaugh, I believe, got kicked out of a mall for throwing a football around in it. It's just, it looks like the trip of a lifetime. And when you've got the money and the budget, when you've got all of these players, you're coming off a phenomenal year, you might as well. Meeting the Pope, too, that's a cathartic experience. That's really something that you can hang your hat on for the rest of your life. Whether you're Muslim, Jewish, Christian, atheist, you have to love Pope Francis. He's an inspiration.
Oh, without a doubt. And you know, you look at this trip and you talk about moolah, right? Get this, 37 wives are on the trip. And there are 90 coaches and assistant coaches and other members of the coaching staff all together. And other staff, I should say. 90, and that's not even just counting the players. That's a lot of people.
It is a lot.
It's in the Michigan budget, right? In the Michigan budget, that's a lot of moolah. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Also, I want to make note of this because I think this is going to be a fun afternoon. The profiles, two of the best high school baseball teams in our area. DeWitt will take on Holt in a doubleheader starting at 4 p.m. That game is at Holt, and I think it also is going to have particular interest to a lot in this area, seeing as though the drama that's been surrounded around the Holt baseball team with the suspensions and let goes of coaches and, you know, what took place, you know, with that whole situation. I won't even go further into that because we got a segment coming on later on this week when it comes to that story. So stay tuned for that. But DeWitt and Holt, two of the best in the area, they will go at it at 4 p.m. Just wanted to make note of that for anybody trying to get out and about and enjoy beautiful weather mixed in with a little local high school baseball. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And speaking of baseball, right now, live here in Studio West, we invite current sports intern and walk-on for the Michigan State baseball team, David Greenberg, to talk a little Spartan baseball and recap the weekend that was for Jake Bosch Jr.'s team. How you doing, David?
I'm good, Al.
Good to see you, man.
You too.
I want to first off address this because you came in here, you're from Illinois,
mm-hmm.
and you are, without a doubt, the biggest Chicago Cubs fan that I know. I was going through my Sports Illustrated MLB preview, and of course, with the Cubs, you know, winning a win of historic proportions, winning the World Series last year, and we talked about that extensively here on the airwaves. Chris Bryant is on the cover of SI. I gotta ask, my man, I mean, you got your Chicago Cubs hoodie on right now. What are your thoughts on the Cubs team this year? Because I made the statement after they won the World Series last year, this team is so young, filled with a ton of potential. How do you think this team is going to pan out this season?
I think they're going to do extremely well. You know, some people say that they're you know, the World Series hangover or whatever, just because, you know, their record right now is they're sitting at 10-8. And last year they got off to a hot start. I think they had one of the best starts in MLB history, but it's so early in the season.
So early, man.
You can't even judge anything at this point. You know what? Like, I say 10-8. They're still so young. They lost yesterday to the Reds, but they had won four straight games. They won three games in walk-off fashion. Mm-hmm. Anthony Rizzo, two outs in the ninth, hits a three-run homer against the Reds to send it into extras, and the Cubs win. I mean, they're so good. Like, it's not even fair to the other teams. But, yeah, it's crazy.
Can I ask you something, David? You're a big baseball fan. Mm-hmm. Like you play on the MSU baseball team. I have to ask you, dude, when you look at the MLB regular season, 162 games. Mm-hmm. Even as a diehard fan, you're not watching all of those games, right?
No.
That's a lot of games.
No.
And, you know, I even compare it, if I can make the comparison, bear with me here, but you look at the NBA, right? An 82 regular season game, right? And I look at and compare both the MLB and the NBA, and I look at how the NBA, you know, it's been a lot of drama with the NBA as far as should you rest players, is it fair for the fans? And I don't think the NBA will ever dwindle down the season from 82 games, one, because they're making so much money right now anyway. Mm-hmm. And then I think the domino effect of if you do cut those games down during the regular season, you got to look at the lease agreements when you talk about various venues mm-hmm. in the National Basketball Association, and also the ripple effect that could have when it comes to the cities where NBA franchises are located.
Yeah.
And the companies, the mom-and-pop shops around those venues, I mean, that could have a detrimental ripple effect as well. I don't think they're ever going to dwindle down a regular season, but you look at the injuries. I mean, look at the NBA right now. Blake Griffin, Rajon Rondo, Rudy Gobert, mm-hmm. Kevin Durant. Heck, Steve Kerr is even away yep. from the Golden State Warriors as a head coach. Mm-hmm. It's a grueling regular season. I have to ask you, David, do you think the MLB will ever make a change?
I don't know. I think baseball is such a weird sport, and it's so hard to describe to people that aren't familiar with the game and haven't really played. But baseball is one of those sports where, you know, basketball, it's you put your best five out there and they go. Baseball, anything can happen on any given night. And I think that's what people kind of forget to understand sometimes is that, you know, you could have Clayton Kershaw. Clayton Kershaw, one of the best pitchers in baseball, could go out one night and get absolutely shelled and not make it out of the first inning just because there might be a little cut on his hand and that might throw it off. Just the way the baseball's spinning. I mean, it's just such a weird sport that even though 162 games is long, I think it's a good amount to.
It's not as grueling. Is that what you mean in comparison to other sports?
Well, it definitely is grueling. I mean, the time commitment is supreme
for sure.
But I think that, you know, just it has to be long because the sample size it has to be greater because anything can happen on any given night. If that makes
interesting,
sense.
And you know, I think a lot of people talk from tradition when making that argument as well.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, I look at the Detroit Tigers now. I mean, you have Jose Iglesias already on the DL mm-hmm. due to the knee to jaw that he took in a crazy game last week. Miguel Cabrera also hurt. Well, I always said if this team can stay healthy, they're one of the best in baseball. When those injuries trickle in, especially this early,
yeah,
it makes it so tough for the Detroit Tigers. Jacoby Jones, I mentioned that. This is my third time mentioning it because it was probably it was the most gruesome thing I've seen in sports in a while. But what's remarkable about that is that Jacoby Jones took a 90-mile-per-hour pitch to his jaw, didn't break anything, didn't have a concussion, just 9 stitches. That's one tough dude.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting conversation to have. All right, I want to transition now to Michigan State baseball and a tough weekend. Mm-hmm. A tough weekend. Michigan State lost both games during a doubleheader at Maryland, 2-1 and 6-2 Sunday on the road at Bob Turtle Smith Stadium. The teams were forced to play a doubleheader on Sunday after Saturday's middle game of the series was rained out. With the pair of losses, David, the Spartans are now 20-16 overall, 5-7 in Big Ten Conference play. Where do you pinpoint, the woes of this team?
I think it's consistency. I mean, I think we can be the best team in the Big Ten without a doubt. We have the talent to do it. It's just that at times we aren't as consistent as the other good teams. You know, some games we'll pitch great and we'll give up three runs, but we'll only score one run. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you got to have that even balance of, you know, hitting and pitching, because Coach Boss says it all the time. He says there's going to be games where we win 2-1, but then there's also going to be games when we have to win 10-9.
You're a walk-on for the team, David, and you have a firsthand account as to the inner workings of this squad. And I go back to something that Coach Boss mentioned earlier this season, in which he said, you know what, we need leadership. We need guys to step up and be leaders. You being around these fellas on an almost daily basis, where do you see, if at all, that leadership coming from?
I think it definitely comes from the older guys, the seniors. Dan Durkin in particular, he gets to wear the C on the jersey. He's the captain. But also guys like Ethan Landon, Joe Mockby, Walter Borkovich. I mean, just the senior class and just the upperclassmen guys, they, like, when things aren't going well, they'll get us all together and set us straight.
How do you evaluate the chemistry of this team when you're around these guys? I mean, how close are you all?
Oh, I think it's very close. I think everyone really likes each other. I think that's very clear. I don't think there's anybody that has a problem with anyone. I don't think chemistry would be the problem. I think it's just really consistency, you know, just making sure that on a nightly or on a daily basis, you come out and you perform and you execute.
I want to also go back to a few weeks ago where typical Michigan weather, right?
Yep.
DeMartin Stadium is, you know, that area, Sekia Stadium. I mean, it the Red Cedar River, we got a lot of rain. Mm. The Red Cedar River overflowed. I saw the pictures, and it looked like something I've never seen before.
Yeah, it was a lake out there.
Right. It certainly was a lake. And you guys had to move a series to Grand Rapids, mm-hmm. I believe. Mm-hmm. You played at, where the Whitecaps play?
Yep.
Where the Whitecaps play, the minor league baseball team, which also must have been pretty cool playing on that field, I must say. But at the same time, I mean, how did that disrupt any kind of rhythm that you guys had during the season? Do you think it caused a bump in the road for you all?
I don't know. I think it was good for us. You know, we weren't able to practice just because the field and the indoor practice facility was all destroyed. So we went over to Duffy and we practiced there. But mm-hmm. I think it was good for us. I think it was a change of scenery. And you know what? It's still a home game, and we got to play in a nice field. Get to play a good Fresno State team, and we actually did really well that weekend. Swept them in Grand Rapids.
Well, when it comes to this Maryland series, the Terrapins improved to 28-11 overall, 12-3 in Big Ten action. Very good year for the Maryland Terrapins mm-hmm. thus far. Maryland also, with the two wins yesterday, won its sixth and seventh straight games.
Yep.
How good can this Michigan State baseball team be, and what must happen if they want to climb up in the standings?
Well, you're getting to that point in the season now where it's kind of like do or die for where we're at. It's like you need to really get it all together, and it needs to start clicking like right now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, Maryland's a really good team. They're, after this week, they're 22nd in the country according to D1 Baseball. So, you know, we played well. I don't think that was the problem. I mean, we got six hits and eight hits in the three games, and it's just we didn't put up any runs. Friday night, our Friday night star, Alex Troop, just had a rough outing. Probably a fluke, like I said. Like I'm talking about earlier, anything can happen on a nightly basis. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was for him, but just four innings pitched, 10 hits, 11 runs, and just anything can happen. I mean, he's our undoubted ace. He's a phenomenal pitcher, but just a fluke right there. And, yeah, I mean, all the credit in the world to Maryland, but we just got to put up big numbers.
2 days from now, you all will play Toledo at home, a 3:05 first pitch, and then we'll hit the road for a three-game set at Northwestern. You guys haven't played Northwestern yet just this year. How good is Northwestern, David?
They're all right. They're tied for us in the Big Ten. They're 5-7, I believe, but their overall record's a little bit under ours. They're 5 or 6 games under .500.
Think this team can get back on the track during that series?
I think so, definitely. I think it'll be a great series for us to kind of make our mark. Hopefully come out of there with three wins and make that 4 straight after we beat Toledo on Wednesday. But yeah, I think that'll be big for us to get back on track.
Already predicting a win against Toledo. Like that. Look at the confidence of David Greenberg. I love that. All right, in the Big Ten baseball standings for the Big Ten, Maryland sits atop the Big Ten again at 12-3. Minnesota 8-4, and Nebraska at 7-4. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on today's current sports by hitting you with weekend winners. Don't go anywhere.
That's unacceptable. That was unprofessional. But they're not gonna rook us. Take that for data. Take that for data. Take that for data. He had 15 free throws for the game. Take that for data.
I love that. I love that bite, Isaac. That's probably one of the most epic NBA post-game bites of all time. David Fizdale, of course, head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies, going off and saying, hey, man, the Spurs are getting way too many calls. And they actually made a marketing campaign out of Take That for Data. They printed on T-shirts everywhere. Very cool stuff. And I must say, Saturday night was clearly, without a doubt, the best NBA game of the year as the San Antonio Spurs and the Memphis Grizzlies went to overtime. Kawhi Leonard scored the Spurs' final 16 points going into overtime. What a game it was. The dude took over the game, not only on the offensive end, but the defensive end as well. And it's interesting, though, because I want to pose this to you as well, Isaac, before we close this out. You look at the NBA regular season, right? 82 games. And you see the amount of injuries that are taking place. Now, granted, I think it's a mix of, 2017, they don't build players like they used to, I guess, mm-hmm. because, again, it's not like something miraculously changed. It was a more physical game back in the day. But it's amazing when you look at the names that have been injured so early in the first round of the NBA playoffs, right? Rajon Rondo, Blake Griffin, Rudy Gobert, Kevin Durant, James Harden is complaining about an ankle injury now. I mean, it's crazy when you evaluate these names and the Rajon Rondo injury. I mean, That has changed the series now. Should the NBA go from 82 games, or does it change your stance on rest in the league?
I think they should absolutely go down. I'm okay with teams resting. Do I think it'll happen? No, though. I mean,
no,
this is
not
a moneymaker playing 82 games. And honestly, as an NBA fan, I love coming home every single night and turning on a game. That's why it's not going to change. And that's why, in some ways, even though it's for my own benefit at the expense of the players, I'm okay with it.
Got a weekend winner?
Yeah, I'll go with actually Barcelona winning El Clasico in dramatic fashion.
All right. I love that. You would go soccer, right? All right.
Had to.
See you tomorrow, folks. Take care and be easy, people.